This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive, and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talk the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Could you imagine how awesome Tommy would have looked on Gucci Road?
Hold on. How many games have you been to this year?
Not many.
Right.
I haven't been to that many.
So, if I'm just guessing, I wouldn't guess on a Tuesday that you're going to Georgia. And man, Georgia's
that
awful.
That was a game
too.
I circled
Georgia's
before
awful.
The schedule started, Nick.
Georgia's,
that was
Georgia is awful.
Oh, they're really bad.
But that's just not a game that I would think that, okay, if John's going to go to a game, he's going to circle this Georgia game. So... And then I told you I had you. I just needed a contract for the afternoon slot.
I said done. Contract's
made. I'm reconsidering myself for the afternoon spot.
Are
again.
You?
Yeah. Even though I took my name out of consideration, some stuff didn't fall out yesterday evening. So I'm reconsidering myself for the afternoon slot.
Mm. So you're pulling a Brett Favre on us, trying to get back into the game, even though
yeah.
you weren't originally in the game. But once
you
the
know,
numbers right.
You know. Actually, and that's what I'm doing. I don't want to put together any type of tape, or I don't want to send craft any of that other stuff or whatever. So I just want to keep putting my name in and out and out, so I don't have to actually.
Yeah,
do
it really shows a commitment to
until
this could be a great long term. Yeah, I don't know. Today I'm in, tomorrow I'm out. The next day I'm in. The next, yeah, that's the kind
well,
of
mean,
commitment I'm looking for to host the afternoon.
Everything
spot.
Comes yeah. to no, no. Well, hold on now. We're not hosting nothing around here. But hey, everything eventually comes to an end.
Yeah,
all great things.
I'm afraid
come to an
though,
end.
If your name was on the show, it'd come to an end much sooner rather than later. That's the.
I mean, you know, TikTok. It's all
Monday. You were out. Tuesday, you're out. Wednesday, you're back in. What's tomorrow going to be?
I guess we gotta wait to see.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, hey,
I don't
the
think
next
we're going
time
that direction.
The next time the next time the worst team in the SEC is coming to town, I'll make sure to hook you guys
all
up.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Just think about this is all we're asking.
Hey,
think about
you know
us.
What? As long as you wear a Gucci headband or a Gucci shirt, I will make sure that you can sit on Gucci Row.
Gucci headband.
A Gucci headband or a Gucci shirt.
So, you don't... Okay, well, I don't know what a Gucci headband is, just to be honest.
A headband with Gucci on it?
I know, but you're talking about an actual... Like, what kind of headband? Because when I think of a headband, I think of, like, basketball games, like that
type
of headband.
Okay, well, type in...
Google a Gucci headband.
Google a Gucci headband, and then pick at that point, would you like to wear a Gucci headband or a Gucci shirt?
Probably a Gucci shirt is just... You know, basing it on.
And you are paid well enough to probably get both. Hey, and why don't you have it? Well, yeah, I got.
I don't know. The headband's pretty cool.
Okay. I know what your beef is later. But, Tommy, you know, I have a beef with people that make plenty of money and then they go cheap on, like, the TV or the cable route. Why don't John and Ty have ESPNU?
What are you talking about?
Y'all don't have ESPNU.
We have the Watch ESPN app.
Well,
Ty didn't know how to use the Watch ESPN app.
John still doesn't understand the concept that if you don't have the channel, you can't watch it on the app.
Yeah,
you have to have the.
See, John's a millennials don't get the technology.
No,
they just don't get it.
He still hasn't understood that yet. Like, if you don't have the channel,
see, that's why you got to be old guy resourceful like me and know someone with a password.
He was like telling me that this morning. I'm like, no. You have to still have the subscription to the channel. Yeah. Yeah. To watch it on the app.
Or one would have a cable or satellite subscription.
There we go. So, look, two things.
Wait a minute. No.
Get you
that's
a Gucci headband or
so you're telling
a Gucci
me that
shirt.
So you're telling me that the game was not on the ESPN app last night if you did not have the subscription to ESPN.
It was on the app, but if we
can't
clicked on
watch
it,
it
would say you can't watch it.
Yeah, if it's not part of your plan, part
but
of
you
your
can watch
cable,
all the other BS ESPN
you can watch,
3 games.
You can watch whatever's on your plan.
Oh.
It's just an extension of your plan.
Oh.
So if you don't subscribe to that channel, you're
out.
I
just assumed that the game's on ESPN, then it's available. That's the only thing I assumed. So, but anyways, yeah. Oh well. I mean, first off, I didn't know ESPNU existed. Yeah. Still, I didn't know that was still a thing. But
yeah,
either way,
every time Arkansas and Georgia get together,
yeah, apparently. Well, Arkansas does get the victory last night against the Georgia Bulldogs, 70-60. Back on the winning ways, a 2-game win streak in conference play, or is that what we can call it? 3-4 in SEC right now, 12-8 overall. And if some of you didn't have the subscription to ESPNU and were unable to watch the game, a lot of us were at the game too. This was such a weird game because if you just look at the stat lines and some of the stats that get thrown out to you of how this game went, Georgia had 56 rebounds.
Mm-hmm. And 60 points.
And 60 points.
Yeah.
56 rebounds and 60 points. How many times have you ever seen a game where the disparity between rebounds and points is that close? I mean, it's incredible. But then you also look...
But you also don't see too many teams, particularly in the SEC, that has a guy that's 6'8", 6'9", and 6'11", and then they put them all on the floor at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And then if you're going up against a team like Arkansas, when their biggest man is in foul trouble like Daniel Gafford mm-hmm. was last night, and their biggest man after that's about 6'8", then yeah, that's the type of thing that'll happen. So that stat, of course, stands out. Arkansas only turning the ball over 4 times compared to Georgia 16 times. Another mm-hmm. stat that stands out. But really the one that's the craziest thing is you mentioned how tall some of those players were for Georgia. Arkansas had 14 blocks.
And Georgia only had 4.
How does that happen?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And that's the most blocks on an SEC opponent the Razorbacks have had. And they were big blocks, too. They were blocks that mattered. Yeah. Obviously, anytime you're blocking a shot, but these were ones at critical times, a lot of these were ones that disrupted the game. And I think, Nick, they were disrupting Georgia's offensive flow to the point that they were frustrated trying to get the ball inside. And, you know, we know how Mike likes to keep up with tips and deflections and blocks and all of these things. This, from a defensive standpoint, when you keep a team to 29% from the floor, you block 14 shots, you force 16 turnovers. From a defensive standpoint, I know we're going to hear some from Mike Anderson coming up, had to be very proud of the way the team played on that end of the floor.
And that was the difference. Because, you know, at one point, I think Georgia had more rebounds than they had points. But what leveled the game out and really kept Arkansas in the game was the fact that they could turn Georgia over. And Arkansas really took care of the ball last night. They didn't turn it over a bunch of times. Arkansas had how many turnovers? 4, 5?
4 turnovers.
Yeah.
4.
So, I mean, 4 turnovers, if you're forcing if you're forcing as many turnovers as they did, then you can be out-rebounded by, you know, 20-plus.
Ends up Mason Jones, 23 points. Jalen Harris, kind of a surprise, 13. And Daniel Gafford ends up with 11. I didn't think he was going to get the double digits. He spent a lot of the game on the bench, only played 22 minutes. He came in late in the game and got a few buckets when Arkansas needed them to kind of put the game away. But it looked for a long time, guys, like Gafford wasn't going to get into double digits with his scoring.
No, it didn't. I mean, he seemed like he was just
barely
a
got there.
Yeah, he was a non-factor. And the one player, though, that I always look at, too, when Daniel Gafford had to go out, is for some reason I really like what I see from Reggie Chaney when he's in, at least the potential that could be mm-hmm. there. I'm not saying he's a great player right now, but I think he adds a couple of elements. He has a way to get inside. I like the way he kind of creates a shot once he gets into trouble down there. So there's just some things I like about him, but I feel like he doesn't play enough. And in this game, I understand he played more because of the foul trouble that Daniel Gafford in, but I don't understand why.
And Adriel as well.
Yeah,
and Adriel got to play more too.
Yeah, Adriel, right. Yeah, he was got 16 minutes, and Adriel actually had 8 points, which, by the way, poor Adriel on that dunk. I mean, I've never seen a play.
I've never seen that either.
I have never.
That ball was 3/4.
Yeah.
80% through the net.
From
how did it come back out?
From our angle there in the media, because it was on that goal kind of coming towards us. I honestly thought he made it. Like, I didn't think it went out. I was like, oh, my God, nice play, Atrio. And then later they reviewed it. I'm like, well, wait a minute. How did that not go in?
I didn't realize at the moment that it hadn't gone in. And then Mike's, because I think the score was 33-31 at that point, if I'm remembering right.
That's right.
Wasn't taking copious notes up in Section 219. But I thought it went in. And I didn't pay enough attention to whether they inbound. I was just watching. And then it comes back, and then when they finally show the replay, it's like it was like a sand wedge had hit the ball into the hoop, and it's like backspin on a golf ball. It just backspun its way out of the net somehow.
I've never seen that before in my life, and of course it had to happen to Adrio Bailey. I mean, it was just that type of game. This has been that type of year.
I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah. So I mean, there was just a lot of weird
to be
plays.
That deep in the net. This wasn't one that was
on
just
a dunk.
On a dunk and the rim popped it out. I mean, we've all seen those plays. This ball was down in the net. And like gravity said, no, not now. Mm. I'm on a break.
Nick, you ever had a dunk that did that when you slammed it? You always slammed it home?
Anytime I go up for one, I put it down.
Yeah, no, we bet on that one. But, yeah, so it was just an overall weird game. But Arkansas getting the victory. And, Georgia's just a bad basketball team, man.
How has Georgia beaten anybody this year?
I don't know.
How'd they beat Texas this weekend?
Beat Texas, beat Georgia Tech team. Beat Georgia
beat
Tech.
They have beaten Tech by
two teams
11,
that
12.
Arkansas's lost to. Think about that.
Yeah.
This Georgia team, in their, let's see, they got 10 wins now, 10 and 10 team. Two of those 10 wins are over Georgia Tech and Texas, two teams that are on the losing side for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, and then Texas beats Kansas last night.
And they beat North Carolina.
Well, Kansas, really, they've lost three straight, I think.
Yeah, so it's all weird right now in college basketball, that is for sure.
Want to win a Bud Light cooler? Go to our Facebook and Twitter pages. Like, share, and retweet the post for your chance to win. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, home!
When people suggest that he has not addressed in practice any of the free throws, like any of the free throw issues, and people just suggest that he gets these stats and the coaching staff talks about, okay, the weaknesses are the free throws, and he just says, well, it doesn't matter. We're just not going to shoot any extra free throws in practice. Like, come on, y'all. And then for the people out there that say, well, if he's addressing it, why isn't it going any better? How many times have you practiced on something you hadn't improved?
See my putting.
Yeah. And I just see
my six footers.
My
three putt stats.
The two things that just really get under my skin are the whole, well, he's not addressing the free throw shooting just because it's not getting better. Well, hey, if they're bad at free throws, just because you shoot extra free throws in practice does not mean that it's going to translate to the game. Yep. And then when everybody always says, well, if it was anybody else or whatever, they'd be fired at this point because we just keep Mike around because he's a nice guy. No, it's because he's made it out to three out of the last four NCAA tournaments. Yeah. And once again, I wouldn't consider myself a Mike guy. Now, I wouldn't consider myself against Mike either. I'm kind of like the caller said or whatever. It doesn't really matter to me or whatever. Whatever happens, I'm just going to discuss it. So this is from a non-Mike guy saying, come on, guys. Like, the two arguments that you use about, well, if it was anybody else and Mike's a nice guy and we can't fire him or any of that stuff, I don't believe that for a second. And the whole thing about him not addressing free throws in practice, come on, y'all.
See, to me, everybody looks at the bottom percentage. Last night it wasn't horrible, 68%. Most of the game it was in the 70s. I was at the game. You got a nice stat bar on the big screen. You see it really easy. They stayed in the 70s most of the game last night. Dipped just below that at the end. But it's really, Nick, about who you get to the line. This team's going to shoot a lot better if you're getting the right people to line. You know how many free throws Isaiah Joe made last night? Zero. Because he shot zero. You need Isaiah Joe going to the free throw line. You know, you got to get Mason Jones there more. And this is about whether you're driving to the rim, whether you're creating fouls. And last night was a game, they were 6'8", 6'9", and that's Claxton guy 6'11". You weren't driving to the rim with your guards. You know, he was trying to open it up with some threes. There was some dribble penetration in the game, but this wasn't a game where you were going to just drive to the rim. That wasn't a good game plan, right?
Right.
So free throws and the percentage for the team, because that's what everybody looks at. They just zero in on that bottom number. But it's really, for this team, I think about who you get to the line more often rather than, and that's going to be the end result. It's getting the right guys to the line at the right points. And really it's about what can you shoot from the free throw line the last 4 minutes of the game. Because that's when they count. That's when you're trying, like last night, trying to hold on to the lead, trying to have good possessions, trying to get the clock down, making free throws when the other team is fouling to stop the clock. Those are when you got to shoot 80% in the last 4 minutes. And that's the number you got to really pay attention to. And that's when you got to get it in Isaiah Joe's hands off an inbound or Mason Jones or someone that you really trust at the free throw line.
Because last night, if Georgia makes their free throws, it's a completely different game.
I mean, Georgia was 50%.
Yeah, they were horrible.
15 of 29.
And that's
a little better.
One guy was 2 of 11 from the free throw line. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, but he was on Georgia, came off the bench. You know how to pronounce that?
No.
Okay, good. So it's Derek O. We'll go with him.
Oh, my goodness.
Derek O is what we're going to go with. But he was 2 of 1 from the free throw line. But that's one of the things that could see if last night, say if...
Ogadipi, I believe, is how John George said it last night.
Works for me. Sounds right. And that, but that's the thing is, like, last night, if Georgia actually did make their free throws, you're talking about a completely different game. And then they may even want it because, obviously, the point spread gets boosted a little bit there towards the end. Mm-hmm. Once, you know, you're getting fouled more, you have free throws coming and all that, so it just changes the outlook of the game. But that's the thing is, you're not going to go against teams that are going to be shooting free throws this poorly all the time. And so that's why you have to, like, when Daniel Gafford made 5 of 7 from the free throw line, I was shocked. I was like, my goodness.
But really, Georgia was all about one guy being bad. It wasn't about the team. I mean, you know, you look at another guy, 2 for 2, 1 for 2, 7 of 10, 1 for 2, 2 for 2, 2 for 11. I mean, it was really one guy that kept going to the line that couldn't throw it in the ocean.
Right. And that's
what killed Georgia.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is you're going in your games going forward, especially, you're not going to have that. You're not going to have a guy that's going to go 2 and 11 from the free throw line all the time. And that's why it's so important to make yours because, again, it's cost Arkansas games this year.
You analyze the free throws for Arkansas. Gafford was 5 of 7. Jalen Harris, 5 of 7. Mason Jones, 5 of 6. Then you had a couple guys that went and got one attempt. Osaboyan was 0 for 1. Reggie Chaney, 0 for 1. I mean, that's... Percentage-wise, you only had 22 attempts, so you miss one. It's, you know, adjust the number. That's not horrible. I know 68% is not where you want to be as a team, but you look at that, and from the individuals, that's not bad. You get Osaboyan or Chaney to make the front end of one of those one-and-ones, and it changes
the
complexion.
But see, that's the thing is, it's you're saying it's not that bad, too, but as we know that with Arkansas, especially when how close these games are going to be, points mean everything. 1 point can be the difference. And so it's like you know.
But if you were 7 of 10 at the line, would you say that's bad?
I mean, it would depend on who it was. Obviously, if it was Daniel Gafford,
I mean,
I'd say
it's a team.
Good.
I mean, because that's what you're talking about. Or if you're 14 of 20 or 21 of 30, just keep running the numbers up. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I wouldn't say it's good.
Right.
I wouldn't say it's horrible, though. It's kind of like right there in the middle.
Right.
But it's also, too, and we've talked about this, it's about when those free throws come and if you make them in the clutch situations. When it is a close game, mm-hmm. 3 minutes left to go in the game. It's a back and forth battle, and you have a chance to go up by 2 or something. You get to the free throw line, you don't convert any of them.
That's where it's
painful.
You've got to get the ball in the right people's hands.
So who's
late in the game?
So who are the right people? Are we talking about just Mason Jones? Because a lot of these guys have shown that late in games.
Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe. Yeah. I think
I mean,
you brought it up.
Jalen Harris last night was decent at the line, 5 of 7, but we've seen games early in the year where Jalen Harris was not good at the free throw line.
He's not a shooter, so yeah.
Not a shooter. Yeah. And last night, he scored some points, and last night, Jalen Harris had a decent offensive night. 4 of 12 from the floor, didn't make a three-pointer on 2 attempts, and made 5 of 7, as we said, at the line, 13 points. His game is assist. He's a distributor. That's who Jalen Harris is. Now, last night, he only had 1, which is kind of unusual, because normally his game is to distribute and get guys open at the basket. Last night, his game was a little bit different.
By the way, a friend of mine who covers Georgia there, he said, I guess he's listening to our stream, it's Ogbe Day. That's how you pronounce his name.
All right.
So, just to let you guys know.
Who cares?
Yeah, no. Exactly. But, you know, that's the thing, too, is...
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, seriously. The free throw percentage, though, because I get what you're saying, and it's fine. 15 to 22, that's better. That's not horrible, especially when you have some of your guys.
Well,
like,
I mean, it's
not
what
coming
won
from
you
one
the
player.
It's what won you the game, though.
Yeah.
Because if you shoot 50% and Georgia shoots 70%, then you're in trouble down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you lose the game. And that's what's got to be so frustrating is because, say, against LSU this upcoming weekend, it's in Baton Rouge. LSU, and which Matt Zimmerman made an interesting point after the broadcast. He says LSU is the most talented team in the SEC. Tennessee may be the best. But LSU's the most talented.
They're not.
These
coaches be looking at.
They may be
Mike said Georgia was talented, and then he's saying that.
You know, coaches are going to say, is LSU the most athletic team, though? God, they are long and lean. I mean, they have the most fantastic team.
Did y'all watch Kentucky last night?
No, I was at the Arkansas game.
Yeah, they beat Vanderbilt a little bit.
By 40.
Yeah.
They are a very talented team.
LSU is very athletic.
And that's my whole point is that
I think that's what he was really saying is LSU, I think that's the point Matt Zimmerman was making. LSU may be as athletic as anyone in the league,
right.
And I agree with that.
And that was my point going into this game, because we've seen these two teams play. It went to overtime, And I'd have to look back at that game to see exactly what the free throw discrepancy was. But you felt like that was a game that Arkansas probably would have won, again, if they would have made their free throws. I'm going back to the game right now. Yeah, they were 17 of 28 from the free throw line. That's 60% in that game. And it went to overtime. And so you going into Georgia now, going on the road to Baton Rouge, you feel like that this is it. You don't want to put yourself in a situation to where you're on the road especially and you're not hitting your free throws. Not hitting them in the situations, because if you go 15 of 22, yeah, that's fine. That's okay. I guess that's okay. But you're not going to, you can't afford.
Oh, well, now you're not going to beat LSU going 15 of 22.
But that's what I'm saying, is that it's like you have to be able to go into the road against a tough opponent and get those free shots. Because especially a team that's as athletic as LSU, what you're hoping is that they are a little more aggressive. They foul you a little more. You get more opportunities. And when you go up to the charity stripe, you got to hit them. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple.
And it's not realistic to say that they're going to go shoot 80%, you know, night in and night out. But to beat a team where the difference of talent level is where it's at with Arkansas and LSU, you're going to have to go shoot 80%.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go play well, really, in all facets of the game. Hopefully LSU doesn't bring their A game, and hopefully you have a chance at the end.
Yeah. And looking back in that game, it's crazy. Gafford had 32 points in that game. Mason Jones, 22. Reggie Chaney, 12. And they still lost. So, can't have another stat line.
They combined by 50-plus.
Yeah. You still can't have that stat line and go on the road and then lose the game. Or free. You just can't have it.
Want to win a Bud Light cooler? Go to our Facebook and Twitter pages. Like, share, and retweet the post for your chance to win. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
They won't catch him. Is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
I don't even know how to describe it, but anyways, it's got good. It's got wings, pulled pork, looks like smoked chicken, and ribs. You got two different types of ribs.
And this is, he said this was the $100 platter right here. This is the $100 party pack right here.
Hey, look at Ty.
He's got it all over his face.
So we got
have
wings.
You not been feeding this guy? Ty has this all over his face, all over his hands, all over his face.
Now, didn't Tommy tell you? See, you said it was unprofessional to eat on the air.
I don't care right now.
He's over there just chowing down on a rib.
It is.
I'm telling you.
Well, hey,
it's
well,
a
you
sad
know,
state of affairs, but I'm the only professional on this
technically,
show.
Technically, Tommy, John's the only one that has to talk. So.
Yeah, I guess that's
and
true.
John's all you,
all
baby.
Right, well, I'll go ahead and I'll give all your beefs, and I'll just go through in a rant here. And we can do that. So you just chow down on those ribs and wings and pulled pork from Arts, and I'll go ahead and handle
carry
it.
Carry on, my wayward son.
Don't worry. I got you taken care of.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bears and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
Okay, I'll go ahead and knock this out. When I get done with mine, you guys can go and then I'll chow down. How about that? We'll just take turns here. So,
make it a long one.
All right, I'll do my best here. So my beef that I have is not just with the Razorback student section at basketball games at Trough, which if you know me or if you followed me, you know that I took a lot of pride in my 7.5 years at the University of Arkansas in being the self-proclaimed student section leader. Front row for every football and basketball game, had cheers, had signs, had all the things. We had a great group going where everybody was on the same page. Everyone had this camaraderie when it came to Razorback athletics, and it was a lot of fun. And now, seems like it's really gone down by the wayside since me and my group left. There's a lot of kids that don't know really what they're doing, how to do chants and all that. That's not necessarily my beef, because that's not necessarily their fault. It's not their fault. It's just there has to be some sort of organization. My beef is with the new starting lineup signs. Guys, I know that you know the starting lineup signs that the students hold up. They've been around forever, since the early 90s. You know, the what's that smell? He's cute. Who's she? Nice hair. All that fun stuff when it dealt with the players and coaches from the opposing team. They're cheesy. They're outdated. They're kind of lame, but it's tradition. Well, I see in last night's game, they have created new signs.
And I looked at them, and they're red, and they're really nice, and they're updated. So I was like, oh, okay, good, finally. Because those signs were from the 90s. I mean, they were worn down. The styrofoam was written out, and it was just in bad shape. So I said, finally they get some new signs up there.
New phrases.
Yes. But only on select signs. Now, Tommy, let me ask you this and just see if you can see where I'm going with it. They have taken away the sign of who's she and replaced it with who's that. They have taken away the sign of he's cute and have replaced it with bad choice. And finally, they have replaced the sign that said, what's that smell, with not good.
Is this PC stuff?
It is. Because they kept nice hair, that sign that they hold up. They kept big deal, that sign they've normally hold up. But they took away those other signs to replace them with a more progressive, I don't know, listen. I didn't care about the signs. In fact, most of the time, we created our own signs when it had starting lineups. When Archie Goodwin from Kentucky came to Fayetteville, we made a sign that said D-League, where everyone yelled that out. When it was Marshall Henderson coming into town, we had White Rock Wednesday for their sign. Or no, it was Just Say No was his.
Look, the funniest, and I tell the story all the time, Tommy. When I first started listening to John in the morning, on this other morning show at that particular time, so I started to listen to him and follow him, and so I would talk to him as I'm walking to the media section and he's in the student section, and they would have study guides like they would pass out and they'd be talking about how many times the guy got arrested,
mm-hmm.
his cell phone number,
took it pretty serious,
his ex-girlfriend, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was. And see, that's the thing, is like, when I saw those signs, I don't know the exact reasoning behind them, but it's just weird that you replace those signs with these other signs and all of this stuff. So it just seemed, it bothered me. It bugged me. Because I'm like, okay, are you changing them because you want to change them, or are you changing them because you don't have any other reasons, and now the students don't know what to do, they don't know what signs to hold up. It's all bad. It's all bad across the board. So, okay, now that I've just witnessed Nick and Tommy and Ty just sit here and eat the whole time, I'm going to go ahead. Let's go to the phone lines, because I want to get this guy to help me out. All right. Robert's in Fayetteville. Apparently, he has more on these signs.
Yeah.
Robert, good morning. Can you help me out with these signs, man?
Yeah. Allegedly, my son told me, you know, he sits down there in the student section, and he said that the athletic department told them that those signs allegedly were broken coming back from the Little Rock game, and that they had to replace them all because somebody tore them up. And I think it's BS. I think that they just wanted to be politically correct. There's some of them up there that have never liked some of the things that the student section and the tradition of our whole tradition in general. They've had some issues with it ever since Jeff Long came into power. And I think it's just another way to change what we've been doing. That's just my opinion. I'm sorry. I know I'm tinfoil hat here and all that, but he told me that they allegedly got broken coming back from Little Rock. They had to replace them. And my point is how many years have we been traveling with them and they never got broken before?
Yeah, well, and not only that, Robert, but why didn't they replace, if they're going to replace them, why didn't they replace all of them with the same phraseology? I mean, why?
Well, because we don't know what we're doing. You know, they know better than we do.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I just took issue with, because I'm like, listen, it's either you just change them all up, go completely different with them all, or just keep them the same, and the fact that you change some and some of the others, I'm like, okay, what's the real reasoning behind all this?
Here's my question. Always before, it was from the student section, and they created those signs from what I remember.
Yeah.
Since when does the athletic department decide that they've got to create the signs? Why don't the students make their own?
Because
why do they have to do what the athletic department tells them?
It goes back to my original point of the organization and the lack thereof from the student section, where nobody knows what to do. Everyone's just sitting on their phones. They don't know what cheers to do. They don't know what signs to mean. They just don't have the organization to it.
But the department has taken that over.
I know.
Why does the department even need to tell them what to do? They should know what to do.
Well, I think if they need my services, I am more than willing to offer them. I'm just saying it that way.
Well,
if I can help out in any way, I will always help out the trough when it comes to the Arkansas Razorback student section. So hopefully, maybe
you and my son need to get together and fix this. You and Matt need to get together and fix this.
Hey, I'm all for it. I'll be there. I'll do whatever I can to help out, man. Because some of my whole
dear near
my heart. Appreciate the phone call, Robert.
That's part of being an imposing home court edge.
Yes.
And that was the one thing last night. I walked in with 9 minutes on the game clock. And it was nobody in there. Ended up having less than 7,000 there. Scanned tickets. I bet there wasn't 1,700 there at 9 minutes before tip-off. You know, that's got to be a downer for the players. That's got to be a downer for this team. And then when you come out and, like, John George is trying to hype everybody up and the starting lineups and the light show and all this stuff, and there's just nobody there to get pumped up.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod and Ruskin is Ranting podcast on HitThatLine.com.